Father, I thank you for this woman. I thank you for the gift that you've given her. I thank you for the message that you've put on our heart. And I thank you for the beautiful way that she speaks the truth. And I ask that you will just give her the confidence now to speak out the message that you've given her. And I ask that you give us the hearts that would receive that truth today. And I pray that these seeds that are being planted this morning will grow into trees that will bear much fruit, that the message we hear today will take on a life beyond the words that Elaine speaks, and actually they will cause us to experience a new level of freedom, a new level of relationship with you, Father God. I pray that she will have fun and we will have fun listening this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Is it, can you hear me? Is it one thing that happened this morning? So I was really, really worried about preaching. I love preaching, but it's really scary. and I was just kind of praying, and I thought I was laying on my bed, and I was like, I just need to get out of my head and just stop kind of worrying about it. And so I was like, huh, maybe I should go on Instagram. Wind. Anyway, I went on Instagram, and then these words were written on one of the posts, and it said, stop overthinking everything and go. And I was like, oh, okay, God. Gotcha. So I'm just going to go. And yeah, just bear with me and let's see what happens. So I'm going to talk about Joseph the carpenter, and I called it an application because I think Joseph, Jesus's earthly father, is someone who isn't spoken about that much and is someone we can actually learn a lot from. So I'm going to kind of, together with you, we're going to look at who Joseph is, like what the Bible tells us about this man. I'm going to focus on chapter 1 of Matthew, verses 18 to 25. And then we're going to look at Joseph's walk with God and then kind of apply it to our own walk of faith. And then we're going to end with a little prayer thing at the end. Yeah. So, intro. Joseph. What do we know about him? So, firstly, Joseph was a carpenter. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, it says, isn't this the carpenter's son? There's evidence for you, English student. He's also the son of David. Okay. So as those that read the Bible will know, there's often quite a lot of genealogy stuff at the beginning, and Matthew's account is no different. So at the beginning, it kind of starts from Abraham and it plots down to King David, and then you have Joseph. One of the reasons that this is done is because when people were expecting Jesus to come, when they were expecting the Messiah to come, they were expecting someone that was born, you know, from a virgin. But they were also expecting a warrior, as we know, and also expecting someone to come down the David bloodline. So it's affirming Jesus's earthly presence as a Messiah, as well as his heavenly presence as a Messiah. In just to prove that Joseph is referred to quite often as the son of David, in Matthew, chapter 1, verse 20, it says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. So he's the son of David. Joseph is also a law-abiding man. So in Matthew chapter 1 verse 19, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. That's going to be important later on. Remember, he's law-abiding. And lastly, probably most importantly, he's Jesus' earthly father, which I think is really cool. So now I'm going to read the passage we're going to look at, which is Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 to 25. And it reads like this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. So Joseph, Jesus' heavenly father, like I said, is not a man that's often spoken. We kind of know of this story. We know of this part of the story. I think of Joseph at Christmas time, because growing up in school, you always have someone as Joseph and Mary and the sweet little nativity scene, and Joe's cheering. I'm assuming because he's called Joseph, he's always Joe. Oh, okay. Cool. Everyone, Joe was Joseph. So he's a husband, he's a protector, he's a carpenter. Well, basically, I've been struggling to read the Bible. My love for Jesus hasn't wavered. That's not saying, my love for Jesus hasn't wavered. It's just a fact. But I've been finding it really hard to want to read the Bible. Someone told me once that structure's great, but if you're kind of forcing reading the Bible, it shouldn't be forced, and it's not really going to work. You should want to read the Bible. It's a desire. You should wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I actually really want to read the Bible now, or be at work and be like, you know what? First thing I'm going to do when I get home, I want to read it. And I wasn't feeling that. I was feeling God, but I wasn't feeling like, I want to read it. And I had people pray for me. And so this week, I wanted to read the Bible. Woo. So I started at Matthew, because I thought the New Testament is easier in some ways than the Old Testament to handle. And I read chapter 1 of Matthew. And I was just praying, you know, revelation, let me feel this in a new way. And I read this about Joseph. And I was just like, revelation, revelation, revelation. This is crazy about this man. Well, this passage for me reads is a guy going against the law for God. He's going against his tradition, his beliefs for God. Here's a guy who's willing to take on ridicule from others for God. He's willing to raise a child that isn't his, a firstborn son that I'll talk a bit about later why that's important. And he is willing to leap for God. Kind of what I'm going to talk about. Why is this? It's all because of his faith, okay? For us, obviously we love all of our children equally, if you have children. So it doesn't matter. You won't be like, oh, firstborn son is really high up on the, you know, the best, you know, yeah. That doesn't happen. Whereas back then, there was a lot of importance put on a firstborn son. So could you imagine Joseph, probably before he met Mary, thinking, one day I'll be a dad, thinking I'll have a firstborn son. He'll probably think, okay, what does that mean to me? Well, I'll have an apprentice for my, carpenter's business, I don't know. he'd think I'd have an apprentice. He'd think, you know, there's someone to carry on my bloodline. If you think back to Moses in Egypt, when the Pharaoh wouldn't release the Israelites, one of the punishments for that was killing the firstborn sons. It wasn't a son, it was the firstborn son. There's a lot of emphasis placed on that. It's really highly regarded. And here's Joseph saying, okay, well, Jesus isn't actually my son. I'm going to give that up, my dream of having a firstborn son and everything that comes with that, because God told me to do it. Something to say is, Joseph is known as Jesus's earthly father. So by law, in the eyes of everyone who was around at that time, he kind of was. But Joseph obviously knew in his heart that there's not really any blood connection. Could you imagine having Jesus, amazing Jesus, but kind of running around? And what would he call Joseph? I don't know, would he call him father? Well, I don't think he would, because he says, I'm going to my father's house, and that's the temple. So, like, what does he... I doubt he's going to be like, hey, earthly father. That's not going to happen. So I was trying to picture when I was reading the Bible, like, what would that feel like to be Joseph? And I know the Saviour is amazing. Of course, he's the Saviour, but to have doubts now and then and to be like, actually, like, he's not really mine. I've given up a lot. But he just seems willing to do it, to just give up everything that he's known and go where his father in heaven leads, which I think is pretty amazing. I just want to recap. I'm not going to read it all. So in verse 20 it says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then it says in verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took him, commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. So Joseph, like I said, has a willingness to go where God, his father, leads. He gets one dream, and straight away he's like, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go for it because my father in heaven told me that I should do it. I thought this was kind of similar to what happens in Mark chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. So there's a picture of Jesus, and he says, you know, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. It's like an immediate response. It's an immediate action. And that's what Joseph did. He gets a dream, and he immediately goes, right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to take you back to Israel at the time. If someone has committed adultery, okay, we know Mary didn't, but everyone else would think she did, it is by law that they would get stoned for that. That is the law. Whereas Joseph didn't do that. He didn't accuse her. He's going against the law for God. What I'm saying about the law, it's more of a religious law, it's a Jewish law, and he's going against that for God. Just think of when you get given rules when you're a child, like in a house, you know, don't touch that, don't do that, or, you know, the rules of the house. He would have been brought up with these rules, maybe when he's a bit older, the adultery one, but he would have been brought up with these rules, and there's him going, okay, God, this is fine because she didn't commit adultery, and actually I shouldn't doubt that because you've told me that, so it's fine. And just going that way, you know, he goes against everything he believes in, and he goes against his way and kind of follows God's way instead. And I think we should be more like that. It's really hard. Us as human beings want to do things that maybe we shouldn't, and we sometimes are faced with decisions that we don't think we can make. But then God, I reckon everyone here would have had God quite clearly and quite obviously saying, you know, I want you to do this. I want you to go there. And there's us going, oh, no, that's not in line with what I do. No, it's fine. No. Whereas there's Joseph, he gets a dream and he does it. I feel like that's saying something. I think, you know, I wonder if we got a dream telling us to do something, would we go and do it straight away? I suppose it depends what it is, but it shouldn't depend what it is. And that's hard. I'm not sure I'd do it. I don't really know. It requires a magnitude of trust. I just want to reiterate, if you think Mary and Joseph, I reckon they didn't picture their future the way that it turned out. You just imagine Mary, you know, like dreaming of her big day. I don't know, having a husband and children and thinking, oh, maybe my husband will build a house and we can live together. And Joseph, the whole firstborn son thing, thinking he's going to have an amazing wife and maybe there'll be a few trials along the way, but it's going to be pretty normal. They couldn't have imagined what happened, that they'd be taking care of the Saviour. But that sounds amazing, but actually they were opening themselves up to ridicule as well from non-believers, those that said, that's ridiculous. It's like watching modern-day yeah, it's like watching Jeremy Kyle. And sorry, if anyone watches Jeremy Kyle here, it is. It's like watching Jeremy Kyle, and you've got the person up there going, "I didn't sleep with him. He's your child," and everyone else at the at the TV, the audience, going, "She's obviously lied. Like, that's ridiculous." And that's what it would be like. No one's going to believe it. But then there's Joseph and Mary saying, "We believe it because we've had a dream." I was just thinking, like, how many times was Jesus's life, like, under threat and they had to run somewhere? You know, how many times did that happen? That's not a normal life. Think of how many times, there's only, like, one recorded in the Bible, but that Jesus kind of ran away from them and just decided, yeah, I'm just going to run away, this, like, tiny child, what are you doing? And he didn't go and, like, you know, modern day, it would be like taking drugs or, I don't know, going drinking. He went to the, like, temple and started preaching. But, like, that doesn't happen. Who has their child going, "Yeah, you should have known, I'm in my father's house"? That doesn't happen. I don't think they could ever expect the rewarding but scary, bewildering journey that they took on. The pair of them go on. How did they get through it? They trusted, and they trusted, and they trusted. What did they trust? They trusted that their perception of happiness, you know, their life goals, everything they dreamed up as, like, children, everything they'd been told by their parents, you know, they pushed that aside and said, "You know what? It might not be what I've planned, but it's what God's planned." It reminds me of Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Yeah, there's another verse that I really love, which is Romans 8, chapter 28. And it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You know, we are human beings. You know, we have free will, meaning anything can happen. And so many, you know, suffering and so many bad things are happening as a lame parade today. However, God can change that anything for our good, and he will do. You know, we have a choice as human beings, but God uses that choice. And he shapes it. He shapes it after the fact for good. Which is amazing. What does this mean? It means we have complete security in him. Isn't that great? Complete security in him. Anything we decide, anything that happens, is in God's hands. I loved the fact that when I walked through that door, there's a little sign saying, like, everything's in God's hands. Literally, this morning, I've been having so many confirmations that this was the right thing to be preaching today. That sign, for example. Then when we were praying in there, people were saying, "I really feel like truth and restoration and, you know, revival," and all these, like, amazing words. And I remember when I was, like, thinking, what on earth am I going to preach on? And I was, like, flicking through my kind of journal that I write in. And it said, you know, just one sentence that I'd written like a week ago. And it said, "I want to preach on truth." And I was like, oh my goodness, people are praying about truth. I'm preaching on truth. I think we need more truth to banish the lies that are walking through that door every Sunday morning. And that's what I wanted to do. It's all about trust. You know, maybe there's an area in your life where you failed to trust God. We've all done it. We've all been there. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you feel like you can't get out of. Or maybe you're looking back to when you were a little girl or a little boy and you were dreaming of what your life would be, and where you're at now is not what you expected. It's not what you dreamed. Everyone's been there. It's about trust. It's about holding on to these verses, which is easier said than done. But it's about saying, okay, this is where, like, what I see. This is my life. This is, okay, married, kids, like, I'm going to have this career. This is amazing. This is what God sees. He sees all of time. He still sees you individually, but he sees all of time. This is our little view. This is God's view. And us saying, okay, oh, no, I haven't got a partner yet. Oh, no, children might not happen for me. Oh, no, I haven't got the career I want. I'm unemployed, this is rubbish. And there's God saying, you're exactly where I want you to be right now. I can see all of time. And you're like, but no, this is my box. This is what I want. Look, it's not right. And he's like, hello. Like, come on. See what I see. He makes all things good. There's nothing we can do. We can't muck it up so bad. Because you know what? Adam and Eve already did that and he fixed it. So, I'm sorry. It's true. We can't do anything. We need to just go his way. Whom we want to doubt. I'm sure Joseph had some doubt. But the way it's written in the Bible is that he dreams and then he just does it. Okay, he has, again, complete trust in God. I think us as English people and humans, but especially the English, we check and cross-check and make sure everything's okay before we do anything, which in some ways is a good thing. For example, if you think, you know what, I think God's telling me to move to Australia, let's go do it. Okay, maybe you want to think about that a bit, if that's your first kind of, you know, revelation from God. But there's other things. When you're sitting down and there's, I don't know, one of your friends you've known forever who isn't a Christian, and you're like, oh, God, okay, I really feel it inside me that you want me to just ask if they're okay and talk to them about you. It's obviously, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Or maybe I should go find someone and pray about it. And then I'll go back. And if they're still there, then I can, like, talk to them, can't I? We check and cross-check too much. There's a time and a place for that. There's a line as well. You know, people say that if Jesus showed up today, we'd reject him. That we wouldn't know that it's him. Because we cross-check and we double-check and triple-check and zillion-check when we should be just doing it. And there's this man, Joseph, who's not doubting, and he's leaping. I'm going to use leaping a lot because I love that. Leaping. It's like when, I think it was Elizabeth, when she was pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary came pregnant with Jesus. And then it says the baby in the womb leaped. Every time I read that. I'm like, he leaped. A baby leaping in the womb, knowing how special this other baby is. Oh, we need to leap. It's scary, but the great thing is, like, look around you. Look at the people you have. Look at the unity we have as a church. Maybe it could improve, I don't know. Maybe, you know, but you have people around you. Probably have people that aren't here today that would willingly pray for you and say, you know what, we can leap together. That sounds really cheesy, but we can leap together. We can do it. We should be a church centered around prayer and unity. So we can take the leap. I want to get a t-shirt. obedience. Oh, yeah. Mary and Joseph surrendered everything to go God's way. Like I said, they threw out all their plans and everything they thought they could want to follow Yahweh. I just love the word Yahweh. It means God. We need obedience. We need to not be scared of it. We need to just pick up our cross and follow him. It tells in the Bible to do that. I always get a bit scared. I'm like, pick up the cross and just follow him. But we can do it because we have such a great support around us and we have a Father in heaven who loves us. I'm talking a lot about kind of leaping and going and just doing it. And maybe there's things in your head you're like, I've been, for weeks, God's been telling me to do something, but I haven't been able to leap. I don't know what to do. I feel really guilty. I haven't done it and I know it's from him. Well, I want to use Mary and Joseph as an example to say you shouldn't feel guilty. Just don't. If Mary or Joseph had said no, okay, if when the angel came to Joseph and said, you need to take Mary as your wife, it's going to be okay, it's absolutely fine, okay, she didn't commit adultery, it's fine, and Joseph was like, I just can't deal with it, if Mary had said, there's too much pressure, like carrying a saviour, like it's scary, what people are going to say, I can't do it, said, I can't do it. You know, God would have been like, okay, like, that's fine. I'm not going to condemn you for it. Like, don't worry. The thing is with God is he never leaves us, but he will be persistent with us. So if Joseph and Mary said no, like, first, he would maybe ask them a bit later and be like, I'm actually going to grow you in that time that you said no. You said no on Monday. I'm going to grow you, put things in place. And then on Friday, I'm going to ask you again and see what you say. But the thing that I wanted when I was writing this to get across is that if Joseph or Mary still said no, if they were like, I just can't do it, like, never ever, like, I just can't do it, firstly, God would be like, I knew you were going to say that. It's fine. But he's not going to condemn us. He's not going to love you any less for saying no to something that you know is from him. He's going to say, okay, I understand. I get it. Child, it's okay. And then he's going to say, don't worry, you don't have to carry the Saviour. Don't worry, you don't have to take Mary as your wife. It's fine. But look what I've got over here for you. Something even more remarkable that I want you to do. If you're in a position where you're like, I feel so guilty, I haven't done it, I know it's God, or how I was feeling, I feel so guilty, I love God, but I don't want to read the Bible, which sounds horrible to say out loud. Actually, like, God is there going, it's okay, I love you, no matter what you do. Say no, I don't care, I love you. Say yes, I don't care, I love you. You know, he would have loved them just as much if they had said no. It's truth. So if any of you are thinking in your head, no, that's not true. It's truth. So deal with it. It is true. It's amazing. We can just be guilt-free. Guilt-free. Oh, he loves us so much. So, so much. There was, oh, I can't remember her name. Lisa Bevere, yeah, she posted something this morning, and the title was God Does Not Love Us Equally, and I was like, oh my goodness, what are you saying? He loves us all the same, like he does, like he does. And then when you actually listen to the video, you're like, oh, okay, I get it now. Like, his love for you is always on maximum, but her argument was that God doesn't love you the same because that means you are irreplaceable. Okay, if he loved us all the same as if we're like drones, he'd be like, I can just swap you for that person. If you don't want to do what I want you to do, then I'll just swap you for that. That's not God. That's lies. So she was saying, he doesn't love us equally, he loves us uniquely. I loved that. I was like, that should be on a t-shirt too. I'm going to start a brand with all of these things. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Yeah, I just thought, yes, he doesn't love me equally like as with everyone else. He loves me uniquely. If I say yes, if I say no, if I say maybe, if I completely muck up everything, and my friend is there who's not a Christian, and I just go, Jesus! And she's like, okay, and walks away. Oh, great, lost my shot. Well, it's fine. He doesn't care. He loves you anyway. Have one of you done that? Is that what you're loving? No, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just think, I just had such a revelation when I was preparing this and hearing about Joseph and reading about Joseph, and I was just like, he's a man that's not spoken of, and look at his sacrifice. He sacrificed law, everything he knew, so did Mary, and he said, you know what, I'm gonna not follow my way, and I'm gonna follow your way, I'm gonna follow God's way. I just think that's so amazing, and that's what we should do. It's guilt-free. He loves us. Doesn't matter if we say yes or no. It just blows me away every single... Oh, rhyme. Blows me away every single day. It really does blow me away. It's just amazing. So I thought we could have... We've got time. A time of prayer. Maybe there's something that God has been telling you to do for ages, and you've just been like, I can't do it, I really can't do it. Well, get prayer for it today. You know, if you're there going, I've been here, I've been like, I'm ready, Jesus, I'm ready, I want to leap, let me leap. Where do I go? Where am I leaping to? Come on, I'm ready. We've all been there. I'm there literally like, come on. And it just doesn't happen. Okay, get prayer fat today. If you're ready to leap, get the vision to leap somewhere, to know where you're leaping to. Maybe you're thinking, my life is not how I expected it to be, going back to the box. You're like, my life, it's not where I want it to be. I don't think it's ever going to be where I want it to be. This is rubbish. You know, well, you need prayer to open your eyes to know, okay, maybe you're not where you want to be, but oh my goodness, God sees all of time. You're where he wants you to be. So also just prayers of truth. So much truth. There was, again, prayer. It's great prayer in there. You should all join. When we were walking through, there was like an image of people walking through the door with burdens on their back, like boxes on their back of heavy burdens. And there could be a number of things, but I'm thinking maybe lies could be amongst them. People coming in like, I'm rubbish. I can't do this. I'm not where I'm meant to be. I'm never going to be loved by someone. I am never going to get a job. I'm just absolutely rubbish. Why does God love me? You know? And then there's, you know, I'm just getting it now, so bear with me. There's, you know, you walking through the door with all this baggage, and then there's Jesus going, I'll take that from you. Thank you very much. Let me have that box. Let me have that box. Let me have that box. Now stand up straight and walk through that door. That's what he wants you to do. That's what we can do, and I feel like that's what we need to pray into today. So I thought, because we're at Junction, it's quite informal, I thought, you know, grab someone around you. Let's get into small groups, I think is better, if you're comfortable with it. If you're not comfortable with it, maybe just sit there quietly, pray by yourself or read the Bible. Let's just hold off on clearing up and just spend this time with your Father. So pray out of this little helpful things, if you need obedience, if you need, you want a magnitude of trust, like, God, just any of the things that I've said, any of the situations that I've brought up, or something that just pops into your head now, just pray with someone. If